Thank you. It's going to be a little bit interactive today, and I can also begin to warn you that this particular sermon will be quite longer than usual. I know the vicar is here, and I know the roster has been done, so they're not likely to kick me out because of that. So please bear with me. So today I'm going to be talking about a topic. It's almost here. It's almost here. The day of the Lord is almost here. And I thank you, Tony, for that preamble before you started reading, because I think you read my notes while I was sleeping yesterday. That the Lord will indeed open our hearts. That the words that I speak will not be my words to you. In fact, I feel very humbled, very privileged to be re-preaching the sermon of Jesus Christ himself to the people at his time. The key verse for today, look for it in Romans 13, the 12th verse in the New Living Translation. The night is almost gone. The day of salvation will soon be here. So remove all dark clothes, all deeds of darkness, and put on the shining armor of right living. Big or small, people regularly are living in expectation of something, of someone, of an event. For example, people expecting a parcel to be delivered, a grocery ordered online to be delivered, a special day, a visitor coming. And I would like to ask us in this congregation today, is there anything that is in the horizon that you're expecting? That whether it's a day or a ceremony, and please, not silence. I know that Adrian will tell me something. So please, is there anyone? You can shout it, because I didn't remember to bring the second microphone. Is there anybody expecting something great that's about to happen? Good, end of term. I remember one child during COVID, and when the lockdown was announced and go back home, I was told she was excited. Why are you so excited? Oh, the schools are closed. So anything else? Anyone else expecting something big? We're also expecting something big this December. I won't say more about that. Maybe we should see me after service. I'll let you know. A big day is coming to us in our family this December. Sorry? Being with family. Visitors will come around. There will be a lot of good eating, probably not overeating. A lot of good eating going to happen this December. Anyone else? One or two more? The birth of Savior will be remembered. Anyone else? Sorry? Socials. Home group socials coming up tomorrow. And please, if you don't belong to a home group, try to come. Sorry? Blankets. Oh, picking blanket. Oh, sorry, I've not had my breakfast. That's why I wasn't thinking of food. Right. I tell you a story. That conference I attended, I told Adrian about. The diocese collected some people. Please don't ask me how. And then we went to this very nice place in Derbyshire. We had a good time. And I met this lovely, lovely man. Lovely, lovely man. And lo and behold, his surname was Joy. His Joy. Mr. Joy. And I would sat with him at the conference table. And it was such a delight to be with. Such a delight to be with. I'm not sure I concentrated a lot during the conference, because this man was just making me laugh all the time. So he told me this story. They went to have this event with the children, and they asked one of the children to pray. And the children went like this. I may not have all the exact words. They said, "Thank you, Lord, that you eventually answered my prayer. For 3 days, I have been praying that you will let me poo. My poo has been bunged up. And yesterday I was able to poo. Oh, thank you, Lord, for such a relief this thing has given me." As far as he was concerned, His own expectation was the day that this constipation would be relieved and he will have comfort again. And that was his expectation. A lot of expectations are there at this time. So on this first Sunday, on this first Advent day, we are looking forward to so many things. Christmas, New Year, lay lights, the singing, the gifts, visiting family, travels, lots of season, lots of every reason to be Mr. and Mrs. Joy or Master Joy or Miss Joy this season. But today's readings are pointing us to look also beyond these ones that we are mentioning. St. Paul says, salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The day is almost here. Jesus Christ has been preaching for so many chapters, through so many chapters, before this our reading today. Preaching to the crowd, preaching to the disciples. Disciples will then call him privately to one side, and then they started asking him, when will these things happen? When will this end of the age happen? When are we going to see all the signs? And in response, Jesus says, no one knows. Only the Father knows, not the angels, not even myself, even the Son that was to come. And remember that Jesus has not even gone to the cross yet. He has not gone to the grave yet. He has not ascended or risen from the dead and ascended yet. And he was already telling them about when he was going to come back again. Now, let's do a bit of time travel. Let's say we were there as one of the apostles on that day, and he was telling us that he was going to return, a journey that he has not even started. And he was going to return. And 2,000 years plus later, he has still not returned. There was no way they could have envisaged that. But today we have people that are predicting these dates, completely contrary to what Jesus has said, that no one knows, only the Father knows. And I was looking through the internet and all the other news clippings or newspaper clippings that I had in the house, and I have so many notable, respected people who were so believable at their time, have been predicting the dates that Jesus will come. Dates like 650 AD, gone and passed. 1836, gone and passed. 2000, gone and passed. In fact, in 2011, there was a particular predictor who did three predictions in 1 year. So when the date of one passed, he said, no, don't worry, it's not April anymore. It's going to be June. When June passed, no, it's not June. I'm so sure it's this year. So it's going to be September. I think it was after September that he stopped predicting. So many failed predictions. The Son of Man will come at an hour no one expects. So it's not like Christmas Day that we already know. Even then, some of us get caught out by surprise. Oh, it's 5 days to Christmas. I need to rush and buy my gifts. There will be no more things happening around that time. Jesus said it will be like the days of Noah. Merrymaking, marrying, celebrations, eating and drinking, until the flood came, still took them by surprise. They were able to see Noah building the ark, putting all the woods in, putting all the mortar in, putting everything, putting the roof. It took him some time. They were still laughing at him. Even the animals responded better to him than some people. Noah and his family were shut in the boat, in the ark, and the flood swept everyone away. And Jesus is saying, so shall my return be. So there will be people in good times, yes, but the verses before that, in the same chapter, Jesus was talking about some other catastrophic signs of his return, or around his return. The wars, the famine, the disasters, they were listed in those verses. Both good and terrible things will be going on around the time of his coming. There will be divisions among people groups, work colleagues. Two people will be working at some place. One will be taken, one will be left. That is also in keeping with the parable of sheep and goats that he talked about in the chapter afterwards. So the Son of Man is coming in glory and he will sit on the throne. And the throne will not just be for those who have done very well, but it will be very sad for those who haven't. So how do we respond to all this? Jesus and today's outpouring of the indwelling Holy Spirit have not left us in ignorance or without guidance on how to respond. Never mind that all the theologians and all the very knowledgeable people of this world have taken this same simple message of Jesus and that they have made it into big second coming eschatological writings and things and confusing the rest of us. Somebody said that we were doing well interpreting the Bible until theologians came. And they started to go deeper and unpacking and unpacking. And you start wondering, is it the same thing that I read? So let's be careful about these things that people who sound believable are telling us. What is Jesus saying? What is Jesus recommending to you and I? He says, keep watch. As you do not know the hour, remember, shortly after, he told us the parable of 10 virgins when 5 of the 10 missed out when the bridegroom came because they were not watching. They were not watching. They were not even there. Let no one deceive you. Let no one deceive us. Like it has happened over centuries, when a leader will manage to convince a group of people with all sorts of different dates, and they will go and gather in mountain tops in some special places, and they are waiting because they felt that they were correct. Only the Father knows. Only the Father knows. Do not be deceived. But we also must be ready. That's the third recommendation. Be on your guard, be alert, says the Gospel of Mark. The owner of the house won't know when the burglar will break in. Otherwise, he would have prepared himself. Always be ready. There was a story of a family who has just had a very good time for whatever reason, for celebration. And they spent all the night partying and they slept very late. In the morning, they woke up also late and they were having this big brunch and the whole house was in a kind of mess. But the new generation will call it organized chaos. And the bell rang and there were these 10 smartly dressed people from the college, students and teachers coming to visit them. Suddenly, the person that went to answer the door remembers it had actually been previously superbly well arranged. It was an appointment to look through their house because their house was very unique. It was a heritage, a kind of top heritage house. And the student needed to come and learn something about it. But she could not let them in because behind her was serious chaos. So she started to think on her feet and decided that, oh, why don't we start from outside? So it took them around the outside and the back. But before going, he shouted some frenzied instructions to the people lying about in the living room. And everybody was scampering and trying to tidy up. And by the time they finished outside, the house became sparkling and the visit went on as if nothing happened. So the householder knew the date. He knew the time, but was still not ready because the awareness and the memory and the remembrance that these people will come had been completely forgotten. So we should not forget that our Lord Jesus Christ is coming. So we should be careful. We should be careful. And we should not let our hearts be weighed down by all the things that are happening around us, all the anxieties of life. And the day will close in on us like a trap, says Luke 21. Another recommendation from Luke is that we should pray. We should pray that we will be able to escape and stand before him as a child of God. And when he will say to us, well done and welcome. So in the last day, God is pouring his spirit. As the prophet said, Joel chapter 2. And we saw it realized in Acts chapter 2. So our waiting is not without help. Our readiness is not without the oil. Our faithfulness is not without the strength and the enablement. And our prayers is not without the oil. God is pouring all this to support us, to give us the strength, to give us his person in the Holy Spirit to help us. I close with a story of an emperor who was seeking an heir because he didn't have any children. And he guessed that his time was getting close. It was almost here. So he selected a few young men in the town and the area of his jurisdiction to try and select one that will become the next emperor. They were all given bags of manure or good soil and a few seeds to plant. And he gave them a few months without giving them the exact date. In a few months, I will call you back and you will come and show me what you've done with my seed, how you have grown it, how you have tended to it, how you have watered it, how you have given it good attention, how you have trimmed it at the right times, how you have done so well with the plant. And that was the instruction. So they all went home with their bags of compost and with their pots to do the work. A few months later, the trumpet sounded in the town that it was time for them to assemble with the results of all the work they have been doing. So they came, everybody came through, and they were all gathered in the palace. And they all came with plants, plenty of plants, different plants, colorful plants. And they were all going through this self-impressionist kind of thing, comparing notes with each other. And then came this man who was carrying a pot without a plant. And there was nothing grown. And they were all laughing, ka, 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 look at him. And he looked so sad. And he was wondering, how could they all have plants in their pots? And I don't have any plant. And then the king came, looked in the pot. Nothing had grown, not even a little sprout. It was just full of the compost. After many months, is that the best you could have done? And then the whole atmosphere changed. After a while, the king ordered the coronation man to come and crown this man as the next emperor of the place. And then he started to smile again. And then he was happy. And then they put a crown on his head. And they put robes on him. And the man removed his ring. Sorry, I'm not going to remove that. And then he put the ring upon him. And he became the heir apparent. Do you know what happened? Can anybody guess what has happened? The seeds have been cooked. The seeds were not alive. The seeds were not meant to grow. When this man got home, the mom helped him. They even got extra manure. They were helping him. He was crying all night. He couldn't sleep because every day he would go and look at the pot. Then nothing is growing. He thought he was an abject failure. He was the last to appear in the temple, in the palace on the day because he felt he was going to be thrown out anyway. And how could it be that we gave you all the same seed and you are growing different plants? Why are there flowers on some and there are no flowers on the others? They were the same seeds, but the emperor had planned with someone else that they should cook and boil the seeds and dry them out before sharing the seeds out. But he went home and became a man of armor of light, armor of living right, that whatever result I get, I must not cheat. The others replaced their seeds. But he refused to replace his seed and then became the heir apparent. And therefore, you have a gift for yourself. So shall the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ be. What shall we do then? What is now left for us to do? To live right with God. To join in. Not to be overwhelmed, underwhelmed by the works of darkness around us, which are also real. Not to be overwhelmed even by the excitement to come that we forget that there is an appointment, there is a bell that's about to ring at the door. Not to forget that our right living is also not just on our own, that the Lord and God has planned for us to walk with him, to walk with the Spirit. He's ready to pour on us that same outpouring that happened in Acts chapter 2. Will you like to join in that aspiration and expectation of the coming of the Lord Jesus, as we normally sing that Advent hymn, O come, Emmanuel. Emmanuel shall come to you. The night is almost gone. The day of the Lord is dawning. Put on, therefore, the armor of light, shining armor of light. God loves the valuable, yes, but surely I know and we know that we become valuable because of his love. Knowing that we have his hope, knowing that we have a purifying power of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He is here with you, he is here with us, he is alongside us, he is holding us strong in every battle of darkness. Every suffering, every grief, every hopelessness, telling us all the time, I am coming, and the triumph of God is about to happen. Will you join? Will you decide? Will you walk in this faith? Will you come to taste that the Lord is good? Will you come to the love of Jesus, our hope of glory? Rightly, let us wait in excitement. Let us wait for his coming. If you need a prayer, if you have never said, Lord, I am looking up, I am loving it, I am imagining it, I am rejoicing in it, I am happy that you are coming again, that the end of the story has not been written, do please come. Do please come. Let us pray. I pray with some of the words of that same song, O come, Emmanuel. O come, O wisdom from on high, who ordered all things mightily, to us the path of knowledge you show us and you teach us in your the ways to go. O come, great Lord of might, O come, branch of Jesus' stem, O come, O key of David, you open wide heavenly home. You make safe for us the heavenward road and bar the way to death's abode. O come, O bright and morning star. O come, O King of nations. Rejoice. Rejoice. Emmanuel shall come, O Israel. Lord, in your name, your word is gone through. And it shall not return to you without accomplishing the purpose for which you have exposed this to our ears and our hearts. I pray that, Lord, O come, Emmanuel, will keep us strong, will keep us going, will keep us hopeful in all that we do and wherever we go. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.